You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
TT in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Y me pregunto si tengo mucha novia.
Bergman, I saw that on social media while I was gone. What is the TT reference?
Oh, TT is the nickname that all of Steve Mason's family call him. He's not Steve or Mace or Mason or any of that stuff. He is TT because there's a Steve is his grandfather. Stevie was his father, and now he is TT for the third.
Gotcha.
And so now he is TT.
All right. Good to know.
The fighting TTs for pickleball.
There you go. Oh, who did he end up playing with?
Brian Mashonsky, his brother.
I think that's one of the name of one of my neighbor's dogs is TT. I'm going to have to check. But that'll be good. All right. So so Mason and Brian Mashonsky. Has Brian ever played pickleball?
He's really good, actually. Yeah. Apparently, he's like a...
So he's bringing in a ringer.
Yes, absolutely a ringer.
Okay. So... the question I've been asked mostly over the last 2 days is, will Russell Westbrook to the Clippers work? Will it do anything? Now, some people think it's a huge mistake. Like, Nick Wright is beyond belief mad at the Clippers for he thinks they've ruined their season. Michael Wilbon is the opposite. Here's Wilbon talking about Westbrook to the Clippers.
Westbrook going to the Clippers, a big deal, a little deal, or no deal at all?
Minimum big deal, potentially huge deal. Huge. Tony, and the Clippers go as Kawhi Leonard and Paul George go, and we got that. And a very deep roster, which people knew from the very beginning. Yeah, Charles Barkley, our dear friend, he picked the Clippers to win at the beginning of the year, and this move, Tony, moves them back in that direction with Phoenix, with Boston, with Milwaukee. To me, because the one thing they probably didn't have was an organizer. You mentioned that they let some point guards go. They did. They still need one. They need somebody. And by the way, with the temperament of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, having a blast furnace guy like Russell Westbrook, it seems to be the way to go. And let me just say this. I believe that Ty Lue, who probably is the most underrated coach in the NBA and one of the two or three best in my book, this is a great place for him to go. It may drive T. Lou crazy for a while, but he can handle it. Because T. Lou's had these situations. They had Kyrie and LeBron. He knows what he's doing. And so this is a big deal, Tony, that bumps the Clippers right up to the top in that discussion of the Western Conference race, in my opinion.
All right. And then Westbrook went to the Clippers, and they asked him, how does it feel to be a Clipper? Here's what he said.
I'm just excited to get back to playing. I love to play basketball, not just that, but love to have fun while doing it. And I get to stay home, see the wife and the kids, and take them to school in the morning. That's a big part of my day, and nothing more important than that, and I'm happy to be here.
All right, Andy, is it going to work?
I think it has a better chance of working with the Clippers than the Lakers.
Why?
First of all, the Clippers are better... their roster is better suited for Russ, like the things Russ does best. They have much more shooting than the Lakers. Like, they can put a lot of shooting around Russ that the Lakers couldn't do. You want the ball. You can live with the ball in the hands, of Kawhi and Paul George less than you can with LeBron. Like, you need LeBron to orchestrate everything. And it made it so if you were going to have Russ and LeBron work together, either Russ had to be off ball, which he has no utility, or you were taking the ball out of LeBron's hands more often. Also, too, LeBron is more of an alpha male than Kawhi and Paul George, so I think the dynamic is different, and this is what's most important. There's much less of a need for this to work with the Clippers than there was with the Lakers because the Clippers don't have $47 million worth of salary space in Russell Westbrook right now. He's just... one player,
right?
It either works
taking
or
a flyer.
Doesn't work.
Michael, why didn't Russ work with the Lakers?
I think with the Lakers, he had such a dynamic personality, and LeBron James, who demanded the ball a lot more. So did Anthony Davis. with Kawhi and Paul George, I think they are more willing to defer to him because they're like boys, you know, they're all buddies.
Right.
And so I think he'll feel more comfortable playing with those two guys as opposed to the Lakers' big two.
I wonder what happens the first time Russ has a bad game and Ty Lue takes him out. Do you think Russ, who's now been on five teams in 6 years, takes it in stride?
I mean, I think he did, for the most part, reasonably well with it with the Lakers. I know he didn't like it, but he got asked about it all the time, and he just kept saying, I'm fine with it, I'm fine with it. Obviously, there are things that I think went on, especially down the end of his time with the Lakers, where he was butting up against it more, and maybe it's because he was concerned about whether or not he was going to get traded. He also knew LeBron wanted him traded. Like, LeBron wanted him traded for Kyrie or trade him for somebody that's a better fit. That's really awkward for Russ to be a part of it. But, I mean, the truth is, if Russ doesn't like it, you cut him. Like, it's not that difficult of a problem to solve. It was much more of a difficult problem for the Lakers.
Well, the Lakers, in essence, just cut him, right? They traded him, I know, but they basically gave up on him, right?
Right, but it took them a year and three quarters to do that.
Yeah.
And for a while, they didn't have the luxury of doing that because they were trying to compete. They couldn't just salary dump him or something like that. And he was too talented for them to not have his services altogether. Like, I remember there were people coming into this year saying, just preemptively send Russ home.
Right.
No, they can't. Right. They're not talented enough to do that. I mean, there were games where Russ helped this year.
Yeah, I'm still a fan of Russ. I'm actually, I know this sounds weird, I'm actually rooting for him. I hope it works. I hope it works. Okay, so Warriors in town tonight to take on the Lakers. Michael and I have had a year-long argument over whether or not the Warriors are serious title contenders. I believe they are. Michael thinks they don't have it this year. Kind of a weird moment over the weekend. Charles Barkley sitting next to Draymond Green. They're on the air together, and Barkley basically tells Draymond to his face that the Warriors don't have it this year. Here it was.
This could be a year where you see a 6-7 seed in the finals, and it's not really that.
I hate to say it, but the Golden State Warriors are cooked.
That's crazy. You said that last year, but we all know you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I did not say that last year.
You said it every year.
No,
you said it every year since I've been in the league.
That's not true. But y'all are cooked now.
Are we?
Yep, y'all are done.
It still leaves us four ahead of you, boss.
Yeah, I'm telling you, y'all are done.
I have a question without, you know, let's say if Draymond wasn't here.
All right, so Warriors in town tonight. First of all, I agree with Draymond there. Barkley has never respected Golden State.
No.
Picks against him every year.
Yeah.
Says you can't win a team that has no inside presence can't win the title. Well, the Warriors have now won five times since he said that. But Michael, you actually agree with Charles. You think this is not the Warriors' year. I think that, and this is fact, they have the best five-man unit in the NBA this year. And it doesn't even include Jordan Poole. If it's Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Kevon Looney, that five-man unit is the most efficient offensive unit in the league this year. And, Michael, as long as they have those five guys, I'm not counting them out. You seem to be. Why?
We'll see tonight. They're too small. They give up too many second shots. You saw up in San Francisco last month when they played last month. I think it was last month.
12 days ago. Yeah.
If their shot's not falling, they just they got to rely on the threes too much to fall. And sometimes the threes ain't going to fall, so you got to go to the mid-range and you got to dig down deep and out and get guys on the glass. And as a team, they don't go to the line enough. They may shoot like 12 free throws a game, so you can't win that way.
Andy, what do you think? Are you more with me or with Michael?
Michael. I'm with Michael. They just this year have not seemed like a championship team. They just have seemed off.
Did they last year during the season seem like a championship team?
No, not during the season. They were 29-29 or something like that.
Yeah.
Midway through the season, then they sort of got going late. But I haven't seen it yet.
But Greg, do you agree with me or with Michael?
Give me one more time.
I say Warriors are a threat to win the whole thing. Michael says they don't have it this year.
No, I'm with you. I'm very much with you. Once they get to put it all together, Wiggins and Steph are all healthy. As much as they're not having everything going together, I think that if they get into the finals, they're that type of team that they can turn it on.
Now, Michael, here's one thing that I don't understand, and I'm wondering if you have an explanation for it. This is stunning to me. The Warriors' record at home this year at the Chase Center is 22-7.
Yeah.
Their record on the road, 7-22. I've never seen home road splits like that. Why?
Yeah, why are they so bad on the road? Why doesn't it translate to success on the road, at least?
And they've always been a good road team throughout the Steve Kerr era.
But that's part of what makes me think something's just off with them this year, is really good teams figure out how to at least, I don't know, go 500, 400 on the road, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
They're, something just seems off with them this year. Title defenses are always hard, period. You know, they started this year off on a bad foot with the Draymond Jordan Poole incident. There are a couple guys who still have their futures uncertain with the team. Obviously, you know, there's questions about Clay, but really I'm referring to Draymond. And they just seem, I mean, even Bob Myers, people are speculating about how long he's going to be with the team. It just seems off with them.
But
right
couldn't
now.
Guys, couldn't the Bob Myers thing be as simple as this? Kirk Lacob, the owner's son, wants to run the team.
You think so?
And if the owner's son wants to run the team.
I don't think he's a GM, though, like a Bob Myers.
He's sure, assistant GM now.
Yeah, he's assistant, but, you know, dad's got to give his son something to do, right? To get him ready to take over the team eventually when Lightyears is no longer around. But I've known Kirk, talked to him a few times. I don't think he wants to be the GM every day.
So you think if Bob left, if they just let his contract expire, they just wouldn't give it to Kirk?
I think they would probably promote Mike Dunleavy Jr. He's an assistant GM right there now.
The other thing, too, John, I know you don't necessarily care about this, but the supporting cast beyond the stars, the bench, has not been good this year for the Warriors at all.
Good, for sure.
It hasn't been particularly good at all this year. I mean, Kuminga's been in and out of the lineup. You know, they ended up trading Wiseman. Moody's been in and out of the lineup. Last year, guys like Gary Payton II, Otto Porter Jr., Bielitsa, they really mattered for this team last year. Even in the playoffs, I know your stars play more, but you need a rotation beyond five, you know, beyond six. Like, you have to go at least competently 8 or 9 deep with guys who can go at least 15 minutes. And they haven't had that this year.
All right, coming up next, there is a very complicated, kind of ugly story that happened last night in college basketball that we haven't touched on yet. It's been the lead story on ESPN all day. We'll do it next, explain what's going on, and have Andy and Michael react to it. Mason and Ireland, tonight we got Lakers-Warriors. By the way, Michael, Andy says must win tonight.
Yeah, the Lakers, the playoffs have started now for them. They can't afford to go 500 the rest of the way. Not if they want to make an impact.
What if they lose today and win on Sunday? Then they're 1-1. If they win tonight and lose on Sunday, they're 1-1.
The teams they're chasing, though, they need to beat the teams that they are directly chasing.
But, Andy, they're chasing. They're 13th. They're chasing everybody.
No, but the teams more directly in front of them. This is not a hard concept, John. You're just refusing to accept this. It's not hard.
No, these next 10 games, they can't go 5-5. They got to go 7-3.
Right. We just disagree about the teams that I think they can catch.
Right, but they're... Golden State is a team they need to consider chasing, because if Golden State falls... What are they currently, 8 or 9?
They're 500 right now.
Right. Yeah. They may fall to say 10, which makes them more catchable. But the Lakers then at that point have to pass Golden State. They need to consider Golden State a team they're chasing. That is realistically how you have to look at this.
All right. So that's tonight. Lakers Warriors at Crypto. We'll tackle this college basketball ugly story next. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
the meatloaf!
All right, Mason and Ireland show. Michael Thompson's hanging out. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. We got Game of Games coming up in about half an hour. It's Michael's game. We'll get Pepe Montilla in here and play with us. Guys, there for the past 48 hours, there has been a story that has taken over college basketball that we have yet to touch on today. So here's the story in a nutshell. Alabama has a really good team this year. Last week, they're ranked number one in the nation. Right now, they're ranked number two. Last night, they played at South Carolina. On Tuesday, a police investigator testified during a preliminary bond hearing for a former Alabama player, a guy named Darius Miles. This is not the ex-Clipper, different guy. Miles and a guy named Michael Davis.
Isn't it Brandon? Oh, Darius, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, Darius Miles and Michael Davis have been charged with capital murder. On January 15th, they shot and killed a woman at a Tuscaloosa strip mall. Here's where the story gets a little sticky. The best player on Alabama this year is a kid named Brandon Miller.
Watched him play last night at 41.
Career high. He is projected to be a top five pick.
Plays like Paul George.
In next year's draft. Really, really good player. They won by two. Brandon Miller had a career high 41. Miller has not been charged with a crime, and his attorney says he won't be. But as the story goes, these two guys are at this strip mall in Tuscaloosa. And Brandon Miller is Darius Miles's ride. He's his transportation. And he texts him and says, can you come pick me up? Miller says, yeah, I'm having dinner. I'll be there within the hour. He eats dinner, gets in the car, goes to pick up Darius Miles. And while he's driving over, Miles texts him and says, make sure you bring my gun.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, my gun or his gun?
My gun.
Oh, my
Darius
gun.
Miles owns the gun.
It's very important we make this clear. It's yeah. Darius Miles' gun, not Brandon Miller's.
And Miller says, isn't it in the car? I'm on my way to get you right now. He goes, yeah, it's in the back seat. So Miller says, okay, well, I'm on my way to you now.
Mm-hmm.
Miller gets to Tuscaloosa, gets to this place they call the Tuscaloosa Strip. Miles takes the gun out of the back seat and shoots and kills this woman.
In front of Miller?
No. Yeah. And this is why where it gets a little sticky. Miller, after, according to this police investigator, Miles came over, took the gun out of the back seat of Miller's car, of the car, and Miller goes and parks the car. And while he's driving away to park the car, Miles takes the gun, shoots, and kills the woman. So in essence, Miller delivered the weapon that committed murder.
But did he know why he was taking it? He just said, bring me my gun, that's it?
According to his attorney, he did not know.
Yeah.
Since that said was his that gun. Darius Miles reached into the car. It was under some clothes in the back seat. Grabbed the gun, shot the woman, and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And Miller, then he got in the car, and Miller took him away. And the police called and said, "You guys need to come back." And Miller cooperated with police. He said, "Okay, I'll come back. And here's what I know: I just drove to pick up my friend. He grabbed a gun out of the back."
Wait, so after the guy grabbed the gun out of the back, did Miller hear the gunshot, so he just drove away and not knowing what happened?
No, he didn't. I don't know if he knew what happened or not, but he did get his buddies got in the car with him and they left. But when the police called, they came back.
His buddies got in the car with him after the shooting?
Correct. So the guy, Miles, shoots and kills the woman,
right?
Gets the gun, gets in the car, and leaves.
Did Miller hear the gunshots?
He says he did not. So Miller has not been charged with any crime, but
wrong place, wrong time.
Correct, and which is what he's saying happened.
Yeah.
See,
I thought it was Miller's gun. I didn't know it was the other guy's gun.
No, it was Miles' gun that Miller delivered to the scene.
Right.
This all came out on Tuesday. Alabama's athletic director, head coach, and president met with police investigators, and they said, what to what degree was Miller involved? And they said, well, he brought the gun to the scene, but Brandon Miller didn't pull the trigger. And Brandon Miller got a lawyer, and his lawyer said he never touched the gun.
Mm-hmm. His gun was just in the car. A guy reached and says, this is my gun. Bring me my gun. Okay, so I'll bring you a gun. People, I don't know. He didn't ask him, what do you need the gun for?
Correct. Just said, bring me my gun. Yeah. I'm in the middle of something. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's never good.
All right. The question now is, no players were made available after the game last night. Should Brandon Miller, who again, as Michael mentioned, scored a career-high 41 points, led him to a two-point victory at South Carolina in overtime. None of the players talked afterwards. Should Brandon Miller have been allowed to play under those circumstances? Andy, I know you don't have all the facts, but based on what I've told you, what do you think?
I'm inclined to think he shouldn't, just because I don't know if it's the best thing for everybody involved. Like, even if you take Brandon Miller at his word that he really truly had no idea what was going to happen, you know, it doesn't seem, based on the text messages that I've seen reported or whatever, that he never asked a question like, why do you need this gun, for what purpose?
Right.
Maybe
it was, bring me my gun, and he said, I'm on my way.
Maybe Darius Miles from Alabama, he's known for carrying a gun.
Let me lend some perspective here. There is no carry law in Alabama.
Right.
So there were no gun carry. Miller committed no crimes.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is, in terms of the reason why Brandon Miller didn't ask why, because I'm sure that is one of the things that the police have asked Miller about. Like, did you inquire to Darius Miles why he needed this gun? Did you ask why he wanted you to bring a weapon to this place? That could seem like
he
an unusual
says he never
request.
Asked.
Right. And maybe it's because Miles normally carries a gun. Maybe he had accidentally left it in his car, whatever. But I'm trying to come up with a mindset where Miller wouldn't ask, to me, a very obvious question.
Well, that's probably because their environment. You and I would ask this. We don't grow up in that kind of environment. But if you guys who have guns and you say, hey, man, bring me my gun, you're probably used to that.
I've said many times, I don't know why schools haven't asked. I think Minnesota should make you their head coach. I think you'd be a really good coach. But you've said that for what you like broadcasting, at this point in your life, you don't want to do it. But if you were the head coach at Alabama, would you have been – Brandon Miller committed no crimes here. Would you have been okay with him with playing him last night?
Yeah, I was following this story and hearing the details of it. And if the cops told me he didn't know what the gun was being used for, he was just delivering a guy his gun, which is the guy's gun, and he didn't know it was going to be used in a crime to commit a crime of murder. Exonerated from it?
Yeah.
It should be noted, though, I believe he's still under investigation.
I think the whole thing is still under investigation.
If he's an accessory or not?
I don't know. In New York or in L.A., where we have carry laws, he would have been an accessory.
Look, I want to make it clear. I don't know how much Miller is specifically being investigated. The crime itself is still being investigated.
Greg just asked a question in my ear that asked that on the air.
Is he an accomplice because he was the getaway driver also?
He didn't know it was a shooting, right?
Yeah, but Greg asked the right question.
Well, I mean,
is he an accomplice to this
murder?
I'm
reading from an article right now. His windshield had been hit by gunfire.
Right.
So maybe he found out after the fact what happened in the moment.
Yeah, I was told when the gunfire started, his car was hit and he got out of there away. Yeah.
The reason ultimately I don't think he should be playing right now is, A, I think this is very difficult for everybody involved with the program to be dealing with right now. I don't mean it like it's a distraction or like that's a ridiculous way of looking. I'm saying this is a real life and death situation that's difficult to navigate right now. And if it turns out later that Brandon Miller had some degree of culpability in this, the more they dig in, and it turns out Alabama let him play essentially for the sake of getting wins, it's a terrible look. And if it turns out that he truly had nothing to do with this at all, it's unfortunate that he got dragged into it, but at the same time, he exercised terrible judgment.
And like, he's projected to be a top five pick. Would you still, if let's say he's exonerated, no charges, would you still
draft
him?
That's a good question.
I would, if he had no idea what was going to be used
for. I would really want to know more about what went on with him with this. Because again, this is, in my opinion, at least for somebody that you're going to be giving that type of money and responsibility and try to build a program around in the NBA, I would want to know, is this typical of your judgment?
Greg, would you have let him play?
I don't think so. No matter what, at the end of the day, you're going to look at it and say, at least we did our due diligence holding him back.
I'm not saying he could never play. But while this investigation is going on.
No, I think you have the right answer here.
You're under investigation.
He can't play. Right. He just can't.
Especially not the day after this comes out. I just say, look, until we get some answers, if we lose a game at South Carolina, you watch the game, Michael. Yeah, they certainly would have lost without him.
Yeah, they'll be in a tournament regardless.
They won't be on the one seed, and that's the big thing.
I think you have to. If this was a professional player, an NBA player, I might have a different attitude, but this guy's representing your university. A woman was killed.
You used
the right phrase. It's a terrible look to say, well, we may not have all the answers, but since he didn't get charged with a crime, go ahead and play.
Right. I mean,
it just seems insensitive.
There is a chance that down the line, he could get charged with something. And again, I have no idea.
Hopefully he does.
There's a lot they're still figuring out, but no, he shouldn't be playing.
You know, Stephen A. made a point today, and Stephen A., just so I get his position clear, did not think Brandon Miller should play. He thought there, like a lot like you do, Andy, that there was just too much smoke. Let it clear. Stephen A. would not have put Brandon Miller out there, but he made an interesting point this morning on First Take. He said, I'll tell you what, a lot of people, especially if this guy is innocent and knew nothing, are going to be impressed with his focus, that he could play like that with that hanging over his head.
Right.
And I thought, well, that is even a little insensitive that we would go there. But he didn't come across insensitive. He was like, we can't paint this guy as guilty while he's innocent. But until you have more answers,
I would say that if you're just looking at this objectively, yes, it requires focus to get through that. What I think people should be careful about doing, and I already saw this going on, don't celebrate him right now for having the focus to play through this, because you don't know all the facts of what's going on.
Fair enough.
It requires focus. Don't celebrate it for now. Just don't.
All right, a couple of things coming. Magic Johnson said something interesting. We'll get that to you. And would you rather, if you had to pick one, would you rather have, and this is not as easy as you think, an English accent or an Australian accent?
I actually think it's easy.
You can only pick one. We'll get into that next. Game of Games coming up in 10 minutes. Mason and Ireland, ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There is Mo Bamba, Michael, you were just saying Mo figures prominently tonight because the Warriors are small, right?
Yeah, they got the biggest guy they got is Kevon Looney, and so the Lakers size is going to overwhelm them tonight.
I did not send it, so make sure that's right, and you can hit send. I'm helping Michael out with a computer problem. Okay, guys, interesting thing about this new team, Andy, is that because they have a completely new roster, nobody really knows what they are. And Magic Johnson was doing an interview the other day. Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay. Magic Johnson was doing an interview the other day, and Magic said, that now with D'Angelo Russell running the point, let me get the exact quote here. I quote, "I think D'Angelo Russell has really grown and matured. If the Lakers can get in, and I think they will, nobody is going to want to play them." You buying it?
First of all, I just have to note the irony of Magic saying this since he's the one that traded D'Angelo Russell.
Because he said he needed a leader.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. I mean, and there's, you know, it's not wrong that D'Angelo has grown. I'm just saying it's kind of ironic. I think Magic actually has a point because by definition, if the Lakers make the play-in, then make, you know, have to win maybe one, maybe two games to get into the playoffs.
Right.
There's no other way for it to have happened other than they're playing really well. Like, they can't back in. It is, like, mathematically impossible for them to back into the play-in. They have to be playing really well. So, yes, I think if they manage to get in, they're going to be a legitimate team.
Oh, Michael, yeah. I think that if they get in, can you imagine, like, if you're – You're another Western Conference team. You've had a good year. You're Memphis. You're Denver.
Dallas, Denver.
And you draw Phoenix. LeBron and AD in round one.
Yep.
That I think Magic's got onto something here. They may not win the series, but nobody wants to draw that.
They're healthy.
Right?
They're a deep team now. They got a long, athletic, deep team.
If, Michael, they go on a run here, let's say I think they need to win. Andy thinks they need to win more. I think they need to go 13-10.
That would 13-10?
That would finish them 40-42. Andy thinks they may have to get to 500, right? You think they may have to win 15 games?
I think if they want to be safe in making the play-in, they got to win 14 or 15.
So like seventh seed you're talking about?
I'm just talking getting in,
just
period.
I think they're going, you're in the play-in. That's all.
I
get
think
in.
They are going to have to win a lot of games regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the teams ahead of them are going to win too. They're going to be winning
now,
games
let
too.
Me make sure I understand this correctly. If they're the 10, that means they play at the 9.
Yeah.
If they lose, they're out. If they win, then they go play the winner of the 7-8 game again on the road, right?
Yep.
So every spot you can move up, like even if you get to the 9, at least you get a home playoff
game,
right?
That's why I keep saying these games are basically must win, John. There's so many ramifications.
Yep. They got no more.
Let go of this bone, John. You know we're right. You know we're right.
No more room for error. No more margin for error.
Well, they have 14 home games. Okay,
yep.
And 9, well, I shouldn't say home games because one of them's a Clipper home game, but they play 14 at Crypto, and they play 9 on the road. If they go...
They need to go 12-2 at home.
I think 10-4 at home.
12-2.
And then if they win 3 of the 9 road games, that's 13 wins I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But Andy thinks they need 15.
Yeah.
If you want to be safe, I think it's around 15.
Yep. And they could do it.
Yeah, boy. And like this trip we're going on this week.
Yes, huge.
Okay. Dallas, Memphis, OKC.
Mm-hmm. Look, Darvin
you can't go 0-3 on that trip.
Oh, no.
Darvin was talking about trying to make the 6th seed their goal.
Well, if you have 6th seed, you got to go 3-0.
Right.
Right.
But
yeah.
One of the teams is Dallas. Like if they're going to go to the 6th seed, they got to leapfrog Dallas.
Michael and I did a game in Dallas this year.
Mm-hmm.
On Christmas, where the Lakers played lights out in the first half, completely controlled the game and led by 11 at halftime. Third quarter, they got outscored by 20, 41-21, and the game was over. So it's not impossible that they could win in Dallas. Obviously, they can win in Oklahoma City. Memphis is a tall order. Memphis is playing really good this
Memphis,
year.
Though, only matters really just in terms of trying to accumulate as many wins as you can. They're not going to catch Memphis.
Right.
Like, you want to win that game, obviously, because you want to win all of them if you can. But that one isn't as critically important as Portland or OKC or Golden State or Minnesota, New Orleans. Those games, those are the ones that truly you have to win.
All right, coming up next, Game of Games. Michael's got the game.
Yep, call Pepe.
Pepe Mantilla, the Spanish voice of the Lakers radio, is going to join us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Pepe, always a factor.
Hey, John, wake up. Pay attention.
All right, thank you, Pepe. And he will join us next, ESPN LA. All right, no Mason today, but we do have the Spanish radio voice of the Lakers, the great Pepe Mantilla. Always joins us when it's Michael Thompson's game. Pepe, how are you?
Fine. How are you guys? Nice talking to you after taking a break. I know you went on vacation, and Michael probably went to Bahamas, and he's always
no. Michael was located on his back deck trying to teach his young grandson Roman how to putt.
That's right.
He was sending me videos regularly. Oh, wow. Pepe, yeah. It is not going well yet, but we'll get Roman there. Michael, yeah. What's the game? What do we?
All right, Pepe. Black History Month is almost over. We have 5 more days to learn about blacks. And then from March to January, you can pretend we didn't exist in history. So here we go, Pepe.
Get multiple your pens and paper out,
so
folks.
So offensive. Go ahead.
Today's game, Black History, multiple choice, as President Pepe so orders. Multiple choice because he says nobody can beat you in buzzing games, Ireland.
Okay.
All right, here we go, Pepe. Which president declared February to be Black History Month? Carter, Reagan, or Ford?
All right, Jorge, Carter, Reagan, or Ford?
Carter.
Greg.
Reagan.
Andy.
Carter.
I'm gonna go Reagan. Pepe.
Ford.
It is Ford.
Oh, Pepe on the board.
I debated Ford.
When did Black History Month become public law? 1980, 84, or 86?
Greg.
84.
Andy.
86.
It's me. I will go 80. Pepe.
86.
Jorge.
86.
It is 86.
Nice.
Okay. Andy,
I mean,
Jorge.
It took too long, but nice. I got a point.
Did Pepe did that? Did you
Pepe
get that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Pepe and Andy.
Andy and Andy's on it. Okay. Greg, you and I are scoreless so far?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Rosa Parks worked as a maid, a nurse, or a secretary?
This one's you, Andy.
Nurse.
I will go with maid. Pepe.
She was a seamstress, so probably I'll say nurse.
Okay, Jorge.
Maid.
Greg.
I thought nurse also.
All right, he's going nurse. What is it?
Secretary.
Nobody.
Wow.
Nobody got it.
Which colony was the first one to ban slavery in 1777? Vermont, Rhode Island, or Pennsylvania?
This one's me. I'm going to go Pennsylvania. Pepe.
I'm going to guess Pennsylvania.
Okay, Jorge.
Rhode Island.
Greg.
Rhode Island.
Andy.
Vermont.
It is Vermont.
Nice. Oh, AK ties Pepe for the lead.
Look at that.
All right, okay. Everybody.
John. We still have nothing.
Yeah, it's early.
It's all right.
How many black Supreme Court justices have there been? 2, 3, or 4?
Pepe, this one's you.
3.
Jorge.
2.
Greg.
I think it's 3.
Andy.
3.
I'll also go 3.
It is 3.
Hey, we're on the board, John.
Hey, and Briones is the only one who missed that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Sidney Poitier, the greatest actor ever from the Bahamas, was the first black actor to win
Rick
an Oscar.
Rick Fox takes exception.
All right. Sorry about that, Rick. Well, he was the first black actor to win an Oscar for which movie? Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Lilies of the Field, or To Sir with Love?
Jorge.
Ah, man, the last one.
To Sir with Love. Greg.
Lilies of the Field.
Andy.
Lilies of the Field.
I'll also, unless he went for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. I'll go Lilies of the Field. Pepe.
It is Lilies of the Field.
It is Lilies.
All right, so everybody but Jorge.
Come on, Jorge.
Pepe
brother
and Andy.
Jorge, don't you have any brothers for friends?
Yeah, you got no black friends?
Michael, we got to hang out more.
That's right. All right, true or false? Everybody guesses this one. Jackie Robinson had an older brother who won a silver medal in the 1940 Olympic Games. True or false?
Greg.
True.
Andy.
False.
I will go false. Pepe.
False.
Jorge.
False.
It is false. There were no Olympic Games in 1940, but he did have a brother in the 1936 Olympics win a silver medal.
Ooh, okay, trickery. So right now.
Oh, you tricked me.
Yeah. Pepe, 5. Andy, 5. John, 3. Greg, 2. Jorge, 2. What's next, Michael?
Before becoming a musician, Chuck Berry studied to become what? A mortician, a minister, or a hairdresser?
Mortician. Okay, Andy, this one's you.
Mortician, minister, or hairdresser?
Hairdresser.
I'm going to go mortician. just because it sounds weird. Pepe.
I'm going to go with hairdresser.
Okay, Jorge.
Hairdresser.
Greg.
I'm with John, mortician.
It is hairdresser.
Ah! Nice! All right, Pepe takes the lead. Andy and Pepe are tied. Jorge has tied me. Greg, you and I suck.
True or false, boys? Captain Mark Edwards was the first black man to walk on the moon during the Apollo 15 mission. True or false?
This one is Pepe.
True.
Andy.
This is a true guess. I don't know who that is. True.
Mm-hmm. Jorge.
False.
I need to make up one. False. Greg.
Yeah, I'm same here. I got to make up one.
All right,
false.
We'll go false. Michael.
It is false.
Boom! Yeah!
Ain't no brothers going to the moon. In 1956. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
In 1956, he became the first black to host a TV show. Cab Calloway, Nat King Cole, or Chuck Berry?
Andy, this one's you.
In 1956.
Definitely was not Chuck Berry. He was too wild. I'm going to say Cab Calloway.
Pepe.
Nat King Cole.
I'm with Pepe. I think it's Nat King Cole. Jorge.
Nat King Cole.
Greg.
Nat King Cole.
It is Nat King Cole.
Ah! Okay. I have caught. Pepe has 7. Andy has 6. I have 5. Greg has 4. Jorge, you have 5. All right, let's do 5 more. Here
Which
we go.
Which card game was created by slaves? Bridge, cribbage, or gin rummy?
This one is Pepe.
Can you repeat that, please? Sorry.
Which card game was created by slaves? Bridge, cribbage, or gin rummy?
Cribbage.
Next up is Andy.
Gin rummy.
I will also say gin rummy. Jorge.
Cribbage.
Cribbage, Greg.
I love cribbage, but I think it's Jim Rome.
It is bridge.
Nobody. Oh, four left.
Garrett Morgan, a black man, invented something we use every day when we travel. What was it? Radar for planes, traffic lights, or elevators?
Pepe.
Traffic light.
Andy.
Radar.
I will go. I need to make one up, so I'm going elevators. Jorge.
Traffic lights.
Greg.
Radar.
It is traffic lights.
No! Okay. So Jorge got it. Who else got it?
Pepe?
Pepe.
Okay, so Pepe.
I got it.
All right. Pepe's smoking me now.
All right, so we have 3 left. All right, go ahead. Everybody's
still in it for now. In 1973, he was the first black artist to win a Grammy for Album of the Year. Was it Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, or Stevie Wonder?
Pepe.
Stevie Wonder.
Andy.
It's got to be Stevie. His 72 was off the charts.
Jorge.
Stevie.
Who are the other two besides Stevie?
Marvin Gaye or Smokey Robinson?
I'll go Smokey Robinson. Greg.
Yeah, I got to make up a point, Smokey.
It was Stevie Wonder.
All right,
yeah.
Greg, you and
His
I are out.
His 1972 was incredible.
Jorge's still around.
Yeah. Okay, so here it is. With 2 remaining, here is the score. Pepe 9, Andy 7, Jorge 7. I'll make Pepe go first. Are there 2 more left or 3 more? We'll do 3 more.
Got a bunch left.
We got 3 more left. Here we go.
George Washington Carver invented what? Peanut oil, peanut butter, or peanut brittle?
All right, peanut oil, peanut butter, or peanut brittle, Pepe. George
Washington
Carver, Pepe.
Peanut oil.
All right, Jorge.
Brittle.
And Andy.
I got to go butter.
It is butter.
Nice! Oh, okay, Andy is within 1. All right, 2 more.
All right. Let's see. Which team did Larry Doby play for, the second man in the major leagues? Cubs, Pirates, or Cleveland?
Pepe.
Oh, my God.
Cubs, Pirates, or Indians?
Cleveland.
Right. Okay. Jorge.
Pirates.
Andy.
Pirates.
It is Cleveland.
Oh, no! That does it. A win for Pepe Montilla.
And it's worth 2.
Wow. Way to go, Pepe.
Pepe, you half black.
You're an honorary black guy tonight, Pepe.
Yeah, you know your black history, Pepe.
That,
That is an honor for me. But the thing that is not an honor for me is to agree with Michael Thompson.
Today is not a good day for me. Pepe, settle it. Okay, Pepe, settle an argument. Go ahead.
Why?
Okay, I agree with Michael Thompson that the All-Star game is a travesty and it should disappear.
Thank you.
Get rid of it. Okay, Pepe, more importantly, settle a debate between Andy and I. Andy says tonight for the Lakers is a must win. I say that's absurd. What say you?
I agree with you.
They could lose tonight and still make the playoffs.
If they win the rest, you know?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
All they have to do is go 22-0 from there. Yeah, so yeah, right. I'm crazy.
Yeah. All right, Pepe. Thanks.
We don't know. Anything can happen, you know.
That's very true.
Anything's doing a lot of work there, Pepe.
All right, Pepe. We will see you in about an hour at Crypto.com Arena. Congratulations.
Thank you. See you later.
All right, bye. There's the great Pepe Montilla.
Pepe's good at these games,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, as long as it's multiple choice.
That's all right. If it works out for that to be the great equalizer, that's fine.
My tiebreaker was, what is the black population of the United States? Who can come with it? Who do you think it is? What do you guys think it is?
By number or percentage?
Just by number.
How many million?
How many brothers and sisters in America, you think? Who's the closest?
I'll say 90 million. Go ahead, Andy.
What do you think?
I'm going to say 74 million.
It is. Jorge, what do you think?
85.
And Bergman?
78.
It is 42 million of us.
Oh, wow. Mm. I doubled up. By the way, Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you have to go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Scott Kaplan is here in person. Today.
Cappy's here. Kamlinski's here. We need a Jewish History Month. Why can't we get one of those?
Yeah, maybe that'll be the game for...
What month would you like it to be, Kamlinski?
What month?
For Jewish History Month.
April's kind of a busy month for some of the holidays. Yeah. We could do it in April.
Yeah, why not? Right. Jorge, hit the super stager. Cappy has his bullhorn, and he is in Los Angeles, live and in person. Cap, did you come up for the big Laker-Warriors game, or will you not be attending?
No, of course I'm going. Things like this don't happen without me. You know what I'm saying? I got to be a part of this.
Do you agree with Andy that it is a must-win for the Lakers?
Yes, it's a must-win.
Yeah, they got to start making a move. Over these next 10 games, you can't go 5-5. You got to go 7-3.
Well, that may be true.
Who do you want to win, Mike?
I want Clay to go for 60 and Lakers win because the Warriors are in, so they don't have to worry about them. They'll make it. So the Lakers got to start making a move here.
Okay. All right. So rooting for the Lakers to win and Clay to have 60 points. Tonight.
Something like that, yeah. Okay. I'll take 40, though.
Okay, I'm with that.
I'm not that greedy.
Look at this young fella right here just walking in here.
El Cubano.
Look how cute he is.
The Ricky Ricardo of 710 ESPN.
That's right, he is.
Well, you need that. You guys like you and Trudell need booster seats.
Tonight is not as short as Trudell.
Yes, he is. Trudell could post him up.
Trudell and I are about the same height.
See, there you go.
About the same height. Not much different. Maybe I'm a little taller, but not much.
So can I tell you guys were cracking me up on the way up here from South L.A. And just by the way, you weren't here yesterday, Johnny I, but Mason was here, and I told a story that I probably shouldn't have told on the air. Which was that I got thrown out of the Hotel Del Coronado on Tuesday night for playing loud music, right? Thrown out.
Wait, that's a little excessive to throw you out. Why not just ask you to turn it down?
I mean, they had literally like a whole percussion band in there, basically.
Oh, that's
I
a
mean,
keyboard,
much.
Saxophone.
In your room?
In the hotel room.
And drums.
Yeah. And I was playing the drums, like a drum box, and then I had like a tambourine on my foot. So I had like a full percussion section going for myself. And there were maracas and stuff. Anyway, they kick us out of the hotel. When I get to the valet to pick up my car, well, my girlfriend's car, I'd have parked on the street. I'm cheap. She got a nice Range Rover. We got a valet. So I say, how much for the valet? $40. $40.
So you didn't tip the guy?
So I didn't tip the guy.
Because he's a cheap ass.
Well, kind of, and I thought it was offensive. I thought $40.
It's not the guy's fault.
Yeah. No, but I figure he's
probably
getting paid.
He doesn't set the price.
All right.
So here's the deal. So today.
Michael? What do you say?
Yeah, you got to tip him.
Thank you.
Okay.
$5, $10 right. bucks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
You make enough money.
I felt the pressure, okay? I felt the karmic pressure
happening.
Did
you go back today?
You went back?
I did not go back. So today, I'm driving down the road, right? And all of a sudden, on my computer, my car, my tire says, hey, your tire's going flat. I'm like, I don't have time for this. So I pull into one of these like discount tire stores, right?
Yeah.
They find that there's this little tiny nail, but they don't have time to do it right now. But the guy fills up the car or the tire and says, you'll make it till tomorrow, okay? So I gave him $10.
Yeah.
So I made up. I just want you to hear this.
I'm listening.
Okay? I want you to hear this. I think I made up.
Because you gave some other guy a tip?
Correct.
What no. What about the parking attendant to the guy at the Hotel Del that got bupkis?
But you still got to have karma. Like, you got to have good vibes. So I felt bad after yesterday, and now today I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I still think you screwed the guy at the hotel.
You definitely screwed the guy, John. He did, John. Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe so, but
I was at a hotel over the past 3 days, and I tip excessively.
You were at Terranea, right?
Yes, and because Terranea is so great to me. Mm-hmm. Those guys are all great, so I always make sure I overtip.
Okay, well, I go to Terranea.
Did the guy have his hand out and you just ignored him?
No. He actually screwed up.
You had to give your keys, what?
No, he screwed up the entire thing as well. There was a car parked in front, and then he comes up, and rather than like pulling so that we can just get in the car and leave, he like diagonally parked like right behind this guy so that we couldn't even move the car. It was weird.
You guys want to hear a weird thing Michael does in terms of hotels? It's somewhat inconsistent. So Michael is, you know, he's very neat, very cleanly.
Germaphobe. Yeah.
He's created a germaphobe out of me. I know.
So when we get to a hotel, Michael gets a bunch of sheets mm-hmm. and other things so he doesn't have to put like sit right on furniture and, mm-hmm. you know, blah, blah. But what you do that surprises me is then you put a do not disturb on your door and you don't let the cleaning lady in for our entire time we're there.
Oh, I understand that.
What was the point?
Because she's doing what you approve of, cleaning.
No,
when you're there. You don't change your sheets every day at home, right?
So yeah, how great is it to do it on the road?
If you're in a hotel room for 3 days, why don't you change your sheets? Yeah. I just need fresh towels.
Just stay out. It's fine. Yeah. I'm here. It's
my
stuff.
I need.
I want to leave my
captain's setting up his band. He doesn't have time.
You need your bed made every day.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know that? He needs his bed made every day.
Yeah, if it's
room.
Part of the deal, I'm in on it.
Well, but wait a second.
I don't need that.
Is there a difference between staying at a fancy resort like you were versus staying in, I know you guys stay in first-class hotels, but just staying in a hotel for a couple days when you're on the road for business versus you're with your wife, you know, you're living a resort life for a couple of days.
Yeah. The first night, we did not get any cleaning lady just because we were always in the room.
Oh, really?
And then the second, third night, you did. But I'm on the road when I'm with Michael, like this, we're going on a trip Saturday. I will call down if I have a do not disturb and tell him I'm leaving for an hour. Can you come clean the room?
Wow.
Michael doesn't.
Nah, I'm cool.
Which is
also
weird,
like,
because you love cleanliness is next to godliness.
Billy
for
McDonald does the same. Me, Stu doesn't need a turn down service every night.
Yeah, I don't need that.
What are you? What's the low maintenance? Thurston Howell III over there.
Low maintenance, man.
Yeah.
You know? No, low maintenance, high maintenance.
As long as
it's okay.
As long as you give him 30 extra towels, he's okay.
That's yeah.
And figures it out.
So you guys are killing me today. So I'm driving up, right? And you guys are talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And this like 3-day cave that he's been in.
And he paid money to go to.
And AK's like, it's kind of like a glorified hole.
Yeah.
You know, like when they throw bad guys in the hole for bad behavior in jail, in prison, it's kind of like a glorified hole. And you cannot wrap your head, John Ireland, around what Andy is trying to preach here today, that Aaron Rodgers is getting, I don't know what, but something. And all these people who are waiting in line, they must think they're going to get something out of this thing. I'm with you. I don't want to pay for it either.
Right. What's the difference between what Aaron Rodgers did, Michael, and me going to my house, kicking my family out for 3 days and saying, I'm just going to sit here in the dark for 3 days and it costs me nothing?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
Because I don't think you're going to have the discipline to do that in your own house. It becomes way easier to quit when you're in your own place and not in a different environment and you didn't put down an investment.
Yeah, but you can just sit on your porch, smoke a cigar, and just contemplate.
But that's not the... But apparently,
I don't think that's what Aaron Rodgers
it requires
doing.
A different headspace.
Smoking something else
that's
and contemplating.
That's what normal person do. You get a little cigar, you get a beer or some brandy or something, you sit out there in nature and just think.
That's
you don't
what
need
normal
to go to
people
some
do.
Cave.
No, that's what normal people do. They get brandy, beer, and cigars.
Right, exactly.
And they contemplate.
Yeah. Sinano, 23 games left. How many do the Lakers need to win to get in?
They need at least 15. 14, 15 is the lowest bar to clear.
According to 538, they're going to win 13 more games.
13.
Finish 40-42 and get the
10. That might be the 10. That's your
best
shot.
But that's cutting it close.
Right. If you get 14, I think, if you get 14 or 15, you're in the play-in. ESPN's BPI has them at 51% to get into the play-in. Only 32, I think, or 33 to get into the playoff.
Michael. But what they need is cooperation from three teams ahead of them to lose. And what 538 is predicting is that Portland, Utah, and Oklahoma City are all going to lose.
All teams that they're going to see. I don't know what the total combination
they play them all.
Is. Right.
Yeah, and Portland I think we're done with, right, Mike? Everybody yep. else we...
Yeah,
Michael,
done.
I'm very optimistic, mm-hmm. okay? I think LeBron is refreshed. He's saying the right stuff. So's Coach Ham. The roster is better. They, you know, they're going to go out on the road together, which is where I think teams bond.
Yep.
Okay, and I think this team could go 18-5. I think this team could.
Cap,
go
they haven't
big.
Done anything close to that all year.
Correct. They
but it's
haven't.
A different team.
They have not.
It's
but
true.
But it's not just the different parts. It's the whole like different attitude. Like I feel like everybody now can go into the locker room like, oh God, it's nice to be in here. Jerk off is gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the guy that was the cancer of their locker room. You know what I'm saying? So to me, I think a whole new attitude can lead to a monster winning streak.
So can I assume that you think the Clippers made a mistake by picking up Russ?
I love that, actually. I love that Russ is with the Clippers now. I freaking love it, man.
Yeah, I think it might work.
I love it. Well, I don't know if it'll work. I just know that he'll be happy for a little bit, then he'll get really upset, and then it'll turn into drama.
Right. Yeah. Well, there is never any shortage of drama. When it regards either the Clippers or the Lakers, I think they'll both be in.
Here's the difference, though: the Clippers don't need Russ, so they just can play him. They like Ty Lue can just literally say to him, "All right, your role is 20 minutes and ball out for 20 minutes, and that's it." And he's a luxury for the Clippers.
Right.
He was a necessity for the Lakers the way they were constructed.
The worst thing that happens with Russ in the Clippers, if it doesn't work. He either accepts not playing or you cut him or whatever, right. And you wasted the time trying to integrate him.
Right.
But he is not as important as it was for the Lakers to try
Correct.
To figure this thing out.
Yeah, 100%.
But don't you think that like there was a time where Russ was actually showing to be a good teammate? And you're like, wow, I was kind of surprised by that. I didn't think he would ever really be able to do it. And then he became Russ again. So he might go there and be a good teammate. But
well, they only have to play for a few, you know, a little while.
All right, so we were talking about it earlier. I'm going to throw it at you two guys. George, I'll start with you. I put you in charge of fixing All-Star Weekend. It had the lowest ratings it's ever had.
I already said this yesterday. A buddy of mine said this to me yesterday. Mike Goldfarb, who's a producer over on the TV building. A one-on-one tournament. You get all the All-Stars, and you do 16 in each conference.
You know, they did this in the 70s.
One-on-one tournament. That's what you do. The
yeah.
players would never go for it, but that is what you do. You do that, people will watch.
Cap, fix All-Star Weekend. What do you do?
Can't be fixed.
No.
That's Michael's position.
Yeah. Can't be fixed.
My position is embarrassing.
Cannot be fixed. You know, it's listen.
Georgia makes too much money. I don't think they'll kill it.
Oh, no,
they'll never kill it. First
Why?
Of all, here's the other thing.
Why would people go to watch that?
Here's the other thing. We always remember things as it goes further and further away,
yeah.
more fondly than it actually is. The players for... 2 decades have literally only played defense the last 5 minutes of the game. And we are treating this because they didn't play that the last 5 minutes of the game like it was anything different. By the way, this game was also not close, which there have been plenty of All-Star games that aren't close, and they don't play defense right. in those games either, whether it was the 80s or the 90s or the 2000s.
Is that what the big thing, though? Like, everybody who complains about no defense, I'm like, really? That's your big gripe? Like, of everything?
No, it's called competing, trying to stop somebody. They're celebrating Jason Tatum for scoring 55 points as if someone was trying to stop him from scoring. Basically, it was a layup line.
Get off my lawn!
I could have got 30 in that game.
But it's not
at
wrong.
My age.
No, but...
Come on, Sedona. That game was embarrassing for the league.
Get off my lawn!
I don't
lawn.
Understand why 20,000 people would pay to go sit there and watch that.
If Maxi Kleber was there, they wouldn't score.
That's true. Good point.
You would have shut
callback
them down.
Joke.
But don't the reason people go is because it's not just the biggest stars in the sport. There's all kinds
of show.
Other stuff going on. Right?
It's a show.
Right. So you go because there's LeBron James and there's Giannis and I don't know who the halftime performer was and who was the national anthem, but you go for the event.
No, don't give me that crap. That'd be like going to a Stones concert to watch Mick Jagger smoke a cigarette.
Let me ask you
look,
a question.
Oh, look, he's nice drinking tea.
Ooh,
look at that.
You can,
ooh, look, he just walked across
you
the
could,
stage.
You can
no,
make,
you're going to see him perform.
No,
you can make the argument that Saturday has been better than Sunday for 15 years.
Yeah.
So, like, what? This is no different.
Okay,
and,
Max, guys,
and Mac McClung saved Saturday.
Oh, man, yeah,
no
was awesome.
Kid.
See, the South Bay Lakers should have kept him.
I know, man. He could play.
All right, so we did a fun thing with listeners where we let a bunch of listeners try and predict who was going to be in the Super Bowl and the final score.
Right, right.
And we gave them $1 million if they did. A couple guys came close. Four of them.
Yeah.
Four of them got the right
combination.
Two teams.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go around the room. Andy, I'll start with you. Mythical money, $1 million. Tell me the two teams that are in the NBA Finals this year.
Mythical Million Dollars says Denver Nuggets, Milwaukee Bucks.
Michael?
Phoenix versus Milwaukee.
Yes, I agree.
Phoenix, Milwaukee. Cap?
Boston, Phoenix.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go with Cap. I think it's Boston, Phoenix.
See, we're smart basketball guys. Give it up. Give it up to me.
And Phoenix is a little bit of a reach, but I just think when Durant gets there, it's going to work.
If Chris Middleton is healthy, they're better than Boston.
Plus they got defense.
And they added Crowder. And Ingles, they've been not playing on back-to-backs to save him
for
the playoffs.
I'm worried that Giannis is going to see a specialist for his wrist.
He's going to play. Yeah. Come on. Not worried about that.
Well, remember last year, he got hurt, and that was it.
Oh, yeah, if he's off again.
Right, of course. Oh, but
if KD gets hurt, Phoenix is done.
Yeah. But if he gets hurt, he's got 23 games. He's got, what, so it's right. Old time. 2 months?
So settle an argument, George and Cap, between Michael and I. I think the Warriors are a force to be reckoned with and could make a run. Michael says not their year.
Nah, I agree with Michael. Mm-hmm. I've now seen them up close multiple times, and I don't. There's just something missing.
Too small.
Well, they
don't shoot enough free throws.
Correct. They don't get to the line, which is a big problem. They also turn the ball over a ton, which they always have, because Klay and Draymond and Steph play fast. Almost too fast. But what they had in previous years, even last year to a lesser extent, they used to have, when they won all the championships, they had the guys like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, these veteran glue guys, right, that were very important. Last year, they had Otto Porter, who I thought was the best minimum signing in the entire league last year. Guys like Bielitsa played a big role
for
them.
Gary Payton II.
They had glue guys. This team doesn't have that. They have the old guys and the young guys. They're trying to hope that Gary Payton II could be a glue guy if he can play in 2 months.
What kind of glue are we talking? Like Elmer's, the white glue with the orange lit top?
Super crazy glue. Crazy super glue.
Okay,
yeah.
So the kind of thing where the guy's hanging on the thing with holding onto his helmet.
Not Duco cement.
Okay, right. Gotcha. But Otto Porter was huge for them last year.
Where is Otto Porter now?
It's Toronto, but he's been hurt all year.
He's been hurt most of his career.
Right. Last year was the 1 year that he stayed healthy in like the last several.
Well, remember he got that one contract from the Wizards that was like $100 million.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, yes, $100 million. Yes.
But Michael, is your opinion on the Warriors based on Steph coming back and being what Steph is normally?
Well, Steph would be back with what he is, but they're just too small.
They're like 500 even with Steph this year.
Well, the most amazing thing, George, about them, they're 22-7 at home, and 7-22 on the road.
Yeah, you can't win on the road.
I've never seen anybody with home road splits like that.
Yeah, and like, look, they have guys who, like, I think Kuminga will eventually be a player.
Yeah, he's a nice player.
But he's still like a baby. Yeah. You know what I mean? In a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't even play real basketball until very late in his life. You know, so
yeah.
How late? Like 90s?
What do you mean 90s?
I don't think he in his 90s.
Well, no, I don't think he was even alive. I don't think he was even alive in the 90s.
Yeah, he's like 19 or 20 years old. He didn't play in this country, right?
No, he's from the Congo, I think.
Right, and then he played with G League Ignite for 2 years, right? So
it's always crazy to me when you hear about athletes who are just so good.
Yeah.
Like Darrell Wright didn't really start
playing. He was a baseball player.
Yeah, he didn't start playing seriously till like his senior year.
Yeah.
And then he ended up skipping college to go straight to the NBA. Like he's that good of an athlete.
Think about other athletes who were playing one sport and then transitioned into another sport to go pro. I mean, I think
Kyler Murray.
But I think like Antonio Gates being a basketball player and then going to be
a Jimmy
football
Graham
player.
Same thing.
You know, Michael didn't play basketball until he was a teenager.
I was about 17.
Look at you.
Yeah.
What did you play in the Bahamas? Soccer?
Yeah, cricket, soccer.
Cricket?
Softball.
Were you good with cricket?
Yeah, any sport I picked up, I could play.
I could bowl it past you. I'm a killer bowler.
You playing cricket?
Let's go. Me and you. All right, coming up next, a shortened version of Sedano and Kep. They're going to only go to 5:30, and then Spock and the Jock.
Yes.
Sliwa and Michael will take over. Lakers, Warriors.
Sliwa sounded sick yesterday. Was he under the weather? Is he under the weather? What's going on? You should have some Purell if that's the case.
I definitely always do.
Yeah. All right. Sedano and Kep next.
Where's Mason, by the way?
All over me.
Mason, I will say it again. Mason will never, ever be out off-dayed. And this applies to Rams. If you take 3 or 4 days off, he's gone. Cap, he's gone.
What the hell?
He's gone. He'll go, wait a minute. Ireland didn't work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Okay, then I'm out. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even understand this.
No, he will not be out off day. He takes a lot of pride in being the guy who has gone the most.
Like, no offense. I mean, Andy, we're happy to have you, but you know the deal here, basically.
Mason makes the guys who load manage look like AC Green.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Crosstalk is presented by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. ESPN LA.